This morning, we continue our series on being created to be generous. Last week, we explored how from the beginning, God created us in the very image of God, and that one of the overwhelming characteristics of God is God's generosity. Last week, you might remember I gave you a challenge to ask God how you could be more generous. This week, we turn to how to be openly generous. There's a wonderful story I heard a number of weeks ago about a woman and her friend and their five children, all under the age of six, who attempted to go to the zoo together. Can you just imagine? So the friend had season passes, making it inexpensive for that individual, but it was clear from the moment they got out of the car that the other one was having a bad day. They arrived at the zoo and it was packed. They had to park in the farthest lot out, the one that wasn't even paved yet, and trek all the way to the front gate, you know, lugging all the stuff you lug when you have children. And after waiting in the line for an hour, realize the wallet was not in the pockets. So you can imagine, she starts digging through everything, the backpack and the diaper bag, underneath the stroller storage area, nothing. So she runs back to the car with the other one watching these children running around, searches the bag, and no luck. So they tell the children, "I'm so sorry, we can't go to the zoo today." The kids start crying, so the moms start crying. They're all disappointed and frazzled. You can kind of see this in your mind's eye. Until a lady comes over and takes the first mom's hand and puts something in her hands and says, "Here, take your kids to the zoo today." When she walked away, she noticed there was a $100 bill in her hands. $100, she rushes to try to give it back, explaining they've just lost the wallet. This is not a real need. They've changed their mind. They don't need any money. But the lady won't take it back. Eventually, the mom and the kids hike all the way back to the cars. And while packing up, they notice the wallet was in the bottom of the trunk. They found the wallet. With relief, they decide just to go to the free park to have the picnic lunch they'd planned. And the moms begin talking about what to do with this $100. They consider getting it into 520s and handing it out to other people. Wouldn't that be fun to do, they imagine? When they realize they're embarrassed about that very idea, who would think it takes courage to give free money away? The moms decide they'll spend it doing something fun for their kids down the way, but somehow it never gets spent. 2 or 3 years go by, and the money kind of sits in the sock drawer in the bottom where folks kind of tuck things away, until a mutual friend's husband loses his job, and 6 months go by without employment, and there's kids that need to get ready to go back to school. So the two moms decide to kind of fill up a bag of clothes to go back to school and tuck the $100 in the bag with a note about how they received the money and about how they wanted to pass on what they had been given. They found themselves wondering what the woman at the zoo was thinking initially. Did she carry around $100 bills to help those in need? How did she find herself in possession? Think about it, they wondered. $100 is enough to change someone's day completely. It fills more than a tank of gas. It gets a room for the night if that's needed. It replaces a flat tire if that's the crisis. It more than feeds a family. And it certainly takes a couple of women and their kids to the zoo for the day, or takes a family for clothes shopping to get ready for school to start. Being openly generous triggers a recognition that our gifts, our resources, come to us so that we can share them with others. Openness in giving to one another. In the book of Proverbs, which Mike read for us, collected wisdom is gathered. In fact, throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman going throughout the streets trying to hand out the knowledge she's gathered and being ignored. Wisdom being ignored, even as it's offered. In chapter 9, we hear that generosity is not about preference, but about very life itself. The generous are enriched and given more of life, whereas those of us who hold back our gifts find ourselves wanting, find ourselves suffering. Now, if we're honest, for many of us, this bumps up against what we've been taught over time. We've been taught you work hard, you earn a living, you take good care of that which you have, and pray that everybody else will do the same. Many of us were taught that money is never to be talked about. It never comes to the light of day. We were taught that money is the root of all evil, except that the biblical verse says the love of money is the root of all evil. Did you know that in the Bible there are 2,350 verses, 2,350 verses telling us how it is that God would have us to use our resource that we call money? We've been taught it is better to suffer in silence, sometimes under a crushing load of debt, than to ever talk about it in the public space, that keeping our composure is much, much more important than long-term health as a follower of Jesus. We were mistaught. Did you know that? We mistook cultural values for biblical ones. We're told again and again in the Bible that God gives generously and encourages us to do likewise, rooted in the truth that we were created to be generous, to live in such a way that others would see God in us, that when they looked in the mirror, they would see what God looks like. Answering the question of who is Jesus in living out our faith. Now, I admit, there's something really radical and countercultural about being a follower of Jesus. Each of us, when we are baptized, is marked with an outward sign of an invisible grace that says, I am a beloved child of God. Yep. And renounces anything that says elsewise. Now, I got confused here, Bill. I'm skipping over for you. Forgive me. At the 11 o'clock service, we will baptize Ainsley Kate DeRamio. Her parents and her sponsors will renounce all that is not God in order to teach her what a life of following God looks like. We had her picture up. Go back one for me. her picture up just a moment ago, who will baptize at 11 o'clock. Her parents and sponsors will say, all that is not of God, I'm renouncing that so that I can teach her and I can teach others what it looks like to follow God. That's a high cost of discipleship. This is the cost that Jesus called the disciples of long ago to and calls the disciples today as well. As James and John in the gospel lesson were reminded, we renounce even wanting the flash and the posture. They asked for the highest praise, for the best seats, the ones next to Jesus, without wanting the cost of discipleship, the coming of Jesus' death, the first and the last that are so easily switched so that the kingdom of God might be known by those who least deserve it. There's a story that's told about a couple who was traveling. The husband and the wife saw a young boy who was pulling a plow, the young boy himself pulling the plow, and an older man behind him with the handles, directing it through the rice paddy. The husband was a bit amused, and he snapped a picture. Now, there was a missionary who was their guide and interpreter, and the husband said to the missionary, "What's going on here?" Assuming the family was poor, the missionary began to explain. The family decided that when their local church was being built, they wanted to give something. They had very little money, so they decided to sell the ox who took care of their plow and give the proceeds to the church. So the spring came and they plowed the fields, the two of them, the young boy and the man. The wife noted this must be a pretty incredible sacrifice and found herself moved. The missionary shared the family felt fortunate to have an ox that they could sell. The tourist didn't say too much. When they got home, they took the photograph to the church and asked if they might meet with the pastor. They shared, "We want to double our giving. Give us some plow work that we can do." "We didn't understand," they said, "how gratitude, joy, and sacrifice were all connected until we watched someone else who gave so openly to do it." Friends, you and I are moved by one another. We're moved by watching others give openly of themselves. Sometimes we wonder, how in the world can they do it? Other times we realize that their step of faith is an invitation for us to take a step of faith as well. The openly generous acts of one inspire the openly generous acts of another. So, perhaps for you, it might be this day your first time hearing a challenge to be openly generous. Perhaps you might consider that it's overwhelming to take a leap of faith and be generous to someone else. Perhaps you've been doing it all along, and others have looked to you for inspiration. So I want to challenge you this week with an act of open generosity. Perhaps it's giving to someone in need. Perhaps it's funding our upcoming community cafe. We're always in need of those who might give so that we can give to others. Perhaps it's giving away a possession so that someone else could have need of it. Perhaps for you, it's saving for a children's college fund. Perhaps it's giving to someone else you know. How is it this day that God is calling you to be openly generous? How is God calling you to the hard and vital work of discipleship? This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.